This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm John Matarazzo. And on this special edition of Charisma News, we are featuring the powerful healing story of Tony Myers, who went from angry atheist to sold-out healing minister. That story right after this short message.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
We want to thank MyPillow for sponsoring the Charisma Podcast Network. Go to MyPillow.com to receive the Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. You will receive a set for as low as $39.99. Also, for a limited time with any purchase, you will receive Mike's softcover book absolutely free when you use the promo code CHARISMA. Once again, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code CHARISMA or call 800-598-1793 for this amazing offer. Well, this is John Matarazzo, and I am here for this special Charisma News edition with Tony Myers, who has an incredible testimony of how God healed him from a very, very terminal condition. Tony, welcome to the podcast, and I can't wait to hear your story.
Thank you for having me, John.
Tony, could you tell our listeners about your life? Tell us about this healing miracle that God did for you.
Well, prior to my Christian life...
Yes. There is a
my
prior.
My former life was made up, and everybody's heard the stories, the down and out part of the drugs, alcohol, all that stuff. And my first chapter of my life was no different. I was heavenly involved in all that. I hated God, even though I claimed I was an atheist, so I did not believe in God. Mm-hmm. But I hated the mention of his name. I hated the mention of Jesus' name. And then, now I know it was the Lord, I was introduced to a Christian woman mm-hmm. who later became my wife. And at that time, that was right at the start of the disease when I was starting to feel symptoms when things were happening. A part of mine, which isn't normally linked to ALS, but one of the first symptoms I experienced was not being able to eat. I did not get hungry. Felt like I was carrying around rocks in my stomach. I would eat bites, a few bites at a time. And that was every few days, every 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
So that's how the symptoms started, along with what I call being death tired, where I would just wake up and I was so exhausted just after being awake a few moments. There was no such thing as a refreshing sleep.
Wow. So what was the disease that you were diagnosed with?
It was ALS. Don't ask me to pronounce.
Also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, right?
Exactly right. Lou Gehrig's disease.
So what are the normal symptoms that people deal with as they have ALS?
A lot do start out with the fatigue. That is normal. But there's a lot of things that, but essentially it's a weakening of the extremities. Some, like myself, their speech is affected early on. That's called bobar. And so, and their neck muscles, it just varies. With myself, it was my legs and also my speech and my swallowing and all of that.
So this ALS is not something that you normally hear a natural turnaround. Like normally whenever somebody gets diagnosed with this, it's just you're going to deteriorate until you die. Is that correct?
a quick deterioration, normally 2 or 3 years from start to finish. A lot of times the diagnosis, and as was my case as well, doesn't come along until later into it. For instance, they made the diagnosis in 2011. I was already in a wheelchair. Pretty much every part of my body was already paralyzed by the time I got the diagnosis.
Oh, wow. And how long had that been going on before you got that diagnosis?
Since 2006.
So from 2006 until 2011, you had been deteriorating, not knowing what was going on.
Right. Now,
wow.
I need to add to that, part of that was me because I refused to go to a doctor until 2009.
Okay.
2009 was the first time because it got to the point where I had to do something at work. I was a welder, and I almost dropped a piece of steel on my partner's head, and that would have taken his head off.
That's not good.
So that caused me to go seek a doctor.
So you realized that there was something wrong, and you realized that you could have affected somebody else, and that was finally what did it for you, to actually go get a diagnosis and go figure out what was going on. Wow.
Yes. You know, I had no right to jeopardize someone else's life.
Right. Yeah. So when you got the diagnosis, what did you think? What were you feeling?
Well, the diagnosis didn't faze me because I'd already dealt with it pretty much. I pretty much knew that's what they were going to say after going to the doctor's all the time, being hospitalized numbers of times and all that mess. Even if they hadn't given me any diagnosis, I mean, I was so far gone already that it was life or death. Now, with myself, my attitude was just let me die. We had been through such a struggle, me and my wife, since especially 2009 and all, and my wife was struggling to take care of me, and I was tired of seeing her suffer. And so I had pretty much given up.
When you say given up, what was your next step? What does that mean? Let's describe that a little bit.
To me, at the time, what it meant was trying to figure out how to kill myself because I wouldn't die.
Everything's falling apart, but you just can't die.
Couldn't die.
Wow. Okay.
You figure since 2006, I was not eating enough to sustain my body. Especially the later stages, I was only getting 200 calories a day, and it was just sitting in my stomach.
Wow.
So I should have been dead long before I was healed. July 4th, 2012 is when I was healed. I should have been dead long before then, and that's why I say I just couldn't die. So I was literally trying to figure out how to kill myself. If you can't move your fingers, if you can't, you know, there was nothing I could do.
Right.
I would spend days just trying to figure out, because my wife wouldn't have had any part of it, obviously.
Sure.
And so that's where my thoughts lie. How do I end this for myself and for my wife?
Wow. So you just wanted a way out. You were angry at God during this whole time. But what happened first? Your turnaround in your faith or your healing? Let's kind of paint that picture and go with that part of the story.
The first thing was my healing. Then I believe. Now, I want to, you know, put a little pretext to that, because I was baptized in 2011 in the wheelchair.
Okay.
I was accepting Christ for the most part just for the appearances for my wife.
Okay, so you were just going through the motions.
Yes.
For her.
I did not. I hadn't had a Bible. I hadn't read the Bible. Still knew nothing about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I, as far as I was concerned, King James was Jesus. I had no clue. So I hadn't done any of that, but I had accepted Christ to the best of my ability at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then is when the healing happened. That is when I started pursuing Jesus after the healing. The first thing we did was, it was July 4th, we stopped at an open bookstore and bought me a Bible.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned that you got baptized in a wheelchair a year before you actually got healed. How did they get, tell me about that experience a little bit.
So I did have one situation where there was wee hours of the morning. My wife in the bedroom, she was in the bedroom. I was in the living room because my wheelchair wouldn't fit in the bedroom.
Mm.
And there was no way to transfer me to the bed. I was in the motorized wheelchair 24/7.
Mm.
My wife always left on a Christian show, and TBN or one of them.
Sure.
And I just happened to be hearing this, and I heard this fella say, he was given what now I know is an altar call. I didn't have a clue back then.
Right, right.
And I did have a heartfelt moment where I was like, dude, you do what you need to do. And that's pretty much what I said. That was my way of accepting Jesus. And I did get real emotional. I had tears and all that. But pretty much then the next day and all, that was pretty much a forgotten thing. But then something came up. Now, me and my wife went to church just a few times from start to finish because problems getting me there and all of that. This one particular occasion, I don't know how it came up, but I went to the pastor and said, I want to be baptized. Well, the pastor and my wife look at me like I was crazy, and they said, you need to accept Jesus first.
I'm glad they said that.
And I'm like, I think I did.
You think you did? That's funny. How did they respond to that?
They were like, okay. And so, but they were happy to, and they made plans. The plans was they physically put me in a lighter wheelchair because there was no way they could carry up a 350-pound wheelchair. The baptismal, there were like 14 steps to get up it. So it took four guys carrying me up the steps after they transferred me to this. It was a sports wheelchair.
Okay.
And they set me down. They let go of me without thinking, and I went backwards and was almost baptized twice.
Oh, my goodness. So you got baptized, and then what happened after that? Because there was some time before your healing actually happened, and I'd like to get to that point.
Correct.
Soon. Yeah.
That was about a year prior. That would have been around March 2011 when I was baptized. Okay. And here's the thing. Let me mention this.
All right. Go ahead.
Because now that I know Christ, now that I know how the gifts function, what happened was there was a woman who had a prophetic word, who saw me being healed. She thought it was going to be at my baptism. Here was the issue. She did not tell anyone other than her niece about this vision. The Lord gives us prophetic words for the good of that person.
Yeah.
This woman never approached. Now, by the time my baptism came about, she had moved to another state.
Mm.
So she wasn't around, but she had told her niece about it.
Mm-hmm.
But no one else. Now, if you have prophetic word for somebody, tell them.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not going to do that person any good if you keep it to yourself.
That's very true.
So I wanted to make that, you know, and I was informed like 3 months after my healing is when her niece come up to me and said, well, my aunt had this vision of you being healed. Well, it would have been nice to know that. That might have given me some hope.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So tell me about this July 4th, 2012 date that God changed everything in your life.
It was in the morning. It was business as normal. I had just 2 weeks prior taken my wheelchair out to our 4-lane highway, tried to get cars to hit me. They wouldn't hit me. So I woke up that day still trying to figure out how to kill myself. And that's pretty much that morning, that's what I was thinking.
Hmm.
And then it was 1:45 when I looked at the clock, and then the thought came to me that Jesus suffered far more in one day than I had this whole time.
Hmm.
I started just imagining the cross. Well, actually, I imagined the whipping post, and then it became like an open vision. I didn't even know the word back then, but it looked like a hologram.
Hmm.
I knew where I was, but it was as if I was actually there. And I was in front of Jesus, looking at him as the Roman soldier was going at him with a demonic fury with the cat of nine tails. And it was wrapping around the front. And I mean, it was so vivid. I saw chunks of his flesh going through the air, being ripped off, the blood spatter, the pool of blood at the bottom of his feet. There is nothing that really does justice to it.
Yeah.
It was horrific. I still tear up to this day when I think about it. And then it shifted to the cross. So from the whipping post, then all of a sudden, I'm at the bottom of the cross looking at Jesus, and he does not look human, resemble human. You couldn't tell. The only thing you could tell he was human was his eyes.
Mm.
Our gaze locked each other, and I felt peace for the first time in my life. And it was like, if you can imagine, liquid gold. It
wow.
was, you know, here I had severe PTSD and a whole bunch of other stuff besides on top of the ALS.
Mm.
So I wasn't exactly a sane person. but that moment was the first moment of clarity. It was as if the veil or the scales was taken off of my eyes. For the first time, I actually saw light.
Wow.
Prior to that, no matter how bright the sun was, all I saw was darkness.
Hmm.
To me, it was always almost pitch black outside, no matter how bright the room was, no matter how bright the sun was.
Hmm.
So this was like a huge moment. It was like all of a sudden I saw light. And there was this peace. And then that's when all of a sudden Tony doesn't know why he was saying these things.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was just, I said, Jesus loves me.
Hmm.
And I said that three times. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And then I said, back pain be gone. Because I did have extreme back pain.
Okay.
I had severe back issues as well. And people don't understand, till that specific muscle dies, you do feel pain. Mm. It's not until that nerve dies off completely, which that's very painful in itself. Mm. Your muscle is convulsing and it's dying and it's very sporadic. It's extremely painful. So it was back pain be gone. Said that three times, and then I said, in the name of Jesus, three times. Why the three times? And
yeah.
Don't know. You know, I was just spreading these words out.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, all the pain left. And remember, since my stomach wasn't working, I was not getting any relief from pain whatsoever.
Sure.
And then automatically, once I realized my body was more comfortable, then I was like, fingers move.
Mm-hmm.
And my fingers started moving. That's when I navigated to the threshold of the bedroom in the wheelchair, and I'm showing my wife, I'm still not able to lift my arms up. They're still on the wheelchair, but I'm moving my fingers.
Mm.
And showing her. And then I tried to tell her, because I couldn't talk, I tried to tell her I'd be back walking if Jesus was willing.
Wow.
And she did say she understood what I was saying. So I go back to the living room. I'm navigating to the corner of the room like I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, legs move. My feet hit the floor.
Wow.
And then I said, Jesus, don't let me fall. And I stood up, started walking towards the bedroom.
When was the last time that you stood up on your own?
That would have been, the very last time would have been like 2009, like around August.
So it had been almost 2 years, almost 3 years.
Yes.
That you had not stood up on your own.
Right.
And now you said legs move and you put your feet on the floor and you're able to stand up.
Yes.
Take me back to that moment.
It was really almost like I was in shock.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't taking time to think about any of this stuff. I don't really remember any conscious thoughts at the time, honestly. It was almost, and now I understand it because it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like I was just doing on automatic function.
Sure.
And so I can't really, it's hard to describe what, I mean, of course there was joy and all that, mm-hmm. and there was peace. There was all that flowing through me. But at the same time, it's kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is something you haven't felt in years. You're able to stand up on your own, and this is not something that anybody has, you don't really have context for that, because that doesn't happen to people that have this diagnosis. So after you've been healed, you know, you've commanded your legs to move, you commanded your fingers to move, your arms to move, and you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you're commanding your body to be healed. What happened the next time that you saw the doctor?
Well, she was totally amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And which it was actually in December when I was able to get there and see her. But yeah, she was completely amazed. In fact, there's one of the one for, you know, it was through the VA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a veteran. And so one of the VA counselors that she was doing most talking with, my wife having to translate, mm-hmm. but she had contact with me. It was her last day of work.
Mm.
She was moving on to other things. And so the doctor called her and she said, "You remember this woman, the one that you had this long conversation, and I'm going to go get her." And mm-hmm. she got her. And so it was like a reunion type thing.
Yeah.
And she was amazed.
Sure. Yeah.
She was hallelujah.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah. And the doctor was like, she kept, "All right, Tony, touch your nose. Okay, do this." And she was going through the whole thing.
Right. Right.
And she was just totally amazed.
Wow. Wow. So you've been walking in your healing now for almost 10 years.
Yes.
And now you are actually helping people find their healing. Tell us about how God is using you now that you've experienced healing and you're walking in this anointing. Tell me about what's happening in your life now.
Well, starting from the moment of my healing, without me even knowing, me and my wife, since it was July 4th, the church was having a worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to go, and I drove for the first time in 4 years. So we get there. I couldn't help myself. Hmm. The first dude I saw was in a wheelchair. And I'm like, "Dude, I just got out of a wheelchair. Get up right now." And now with him, and this was one of the very first people I ever prayed for, I made the mistake and I looked down and he ain't got no legs, and that threw me back a minute.
Okay.
But then from there, I started praying everybody I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know, because once word got around about me being healed, all of a sudden a crowd showed up.
Right.
And so I was walking around just talking to everybody, praying for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no clue how many people got healed that night, but a ton did. Then wow. I got up, gave my first testimony. So, and then from every day after that, when I was out at Walmart, and still to this day, I'm constantly praying over people, for lack of a better term. I don't like the term, pray. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking truth. I'm declaring the truth. And so that's when I go out to wherever I'm heading to that day, post office, it don't matter. I'm praying for people constantly. Of course, I got Pushing the Boundaries podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I make my telephone number available, so I'm getting phone calls. I minister over the phone. I ministered to a woman in Finland over the phone years ago. She didn't know Finnish, or she didn't know English, and I didn't know Finnish.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, and she had, it wasn't ALS, but it was still
a neurological
yeah. disease.
Yep.
And she was in Finland, their thing of there's no hope.
Mm.
They expected her to die at any time. I prayed for her 3 times, and the 3rd time I prayed for her, she got up and walked out and left the hospital.
Wow.
And then I lost touch. I don't know what's happened since then with her. Today I ministered over the phone to a man with ALS, and he's having improvements, vast improvements.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So I am constantly ministering to people.
Amen. So you went from an angry atheist, you get touched by the Holy Spirit, you receive Jesus, you get touched by the Holy Spirit, your healing comes, and you immediately start walking in this mantle of healing power for other people. I feel like it would be a missed opportunity if I didn't ask you to just pray for the people that are listening right now as you feel led for healing.
I speak the Holy Spirit is giving life to each part of your body right now. Thank you, Jesus. I speak life, I speak lungs. There's a number of people, and I'm hearing the name Joe, that you've had problems breathing, you've had problems even capturing your breath. I speak the breath of the Holy Spirit into your lungs right now. Take a deep breath. And there's a person whose pinky finger, ring finger, and the second finger, he cannot move those, and they've got big, the joints are swollen. And I speak right now, life, complete ability to move right now, the swelling gone. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's knee, a meniscus in a knee, you're supposed to have surgery in a few days, and I believe it's a female. I just speak healing to that knee right now. Thank you, Jesus, for restoration of the cartilage. Thank you, Jesus. And I speak to every single person. B is a natural state of existence for a believer. So I'm saying be blessed, be healed, and be a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Tony. I really appreciate you kind of going the extra mile here and just listening to the Holy Spirit and just encouraging people that need that healing. And if you're one of those people that has felt a healing touch from God and you want to share your testimony with us, we would love to hear from you. We'll put the email in the description below so that you can get in touch with us. Email us your story, and we would love to hear what God has done in your life as well. Tony Myers, thank you so much for being on the Charisma News Podcast. You have the Pushing Boundaries Podcast, which is also on the Charisma Podcast Network. I want to encourage people to go check that out. But we want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony of your amazing healing that God brought into your life. And we just thank you so much, Tony. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.